Hey, Heather.
Howdy.
So, topic for today. It's one that I think is gonna annoy you a little bit. I want to be clear. I do not think, I don't want this to happen. But I believe that the end goal for all these platforms, the Instagrams of the world, the YouTubes of the world, is to replace influencers with AI influencers, so that they can capture all the value that comes with brand deals. And I can already see, not like, what is your thought on that?
I like to be a positive person, but this is just, you text me this last night. You're like, tomorrow we're talking about AI and influencers. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, here we go. This topic drives me absolutely nuts. And I don't know if I'm defensive over it or what. You know, my background is mental health therapy. You know, I'm really come from heavy personal development, self-healing, spiritual world, whatever, content creator. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see a world where there is not a need for humanity anymore. And I feel like usually when people bring up the AI conversation, like, look, I'm freaked out about it too. I'm a little scared too and whatever. But I think we have to make a conscious choice to look at the potential of it versus it's here to destroy all of us. Mm. And I think it's a really crazy statement, Greg, that IG and Facebook, they have like an agenda to replace all the creators. Like, what do you mean by that?
Okay. So I do have an argument. And again, I hope I'm wrong, because this is my livelihood too, just as much as it's yours. And it is many of the people listening to this show. So I really desperately hope I'm wrong, but when I look through at the last, let's say 10-ish years, I feel like the groundwork has been laid. I'm going to get slightly conspiratorial at the end, so bear with me.
But here we go.
Interrupt me at any point. Make me defend these points, because again, I hope I'm wrong. Okay, so point number one. When we look at the history of influencer marketing, what happened was platforms came out, so your YouTubes, your Instagrams, and creators built an audience within that platform, right? So they found their audience, they made content, they published to it. Initially, the value for the platform was that creators kept people on the app. And so if the platform sold ads against the attention that they have, the longer you can keep people on the app, the more money those platforms are going to make.
Right.
That all makes sense. That's where it all started. However, when platforms, and we're already seeing this with Facebook, the platform, we're starting to see it with Meta as well. When they get close to capturing 100% of their total available audience, which is not 100% of people, like there's a specific type of person who's going to use Instagram, who's going to use Facebook, so on and so forth. So when they get close to reaching that cap, their revenue stops growing because they're just running out of people. They already have 93% of the total market on their platform. So they can show X number of ads. Maybe they start adding more ads, but we've already seen them try to do that and audiences push back. So they're reaching that cap across the board. Something we need to remember.
Stop there.
Yes, go ahead.
Where are you getting that information from, that they're reaching their cap?
So we know that Facebook or Meta as a collective platform touches like 3.5 billion people.
Yeah, I heard that stat actually while I was running this past weekend, which is pretty crazy. Meta does, but they're reaching that huge percentage of the world, but how many people are actually engaged? You know what I mean? Like,
probably
I might have an
percentage.
Account. Right.
Right. But if somebody isn't engaged with Instagram at this point, but has an account, are you going to be able to necessarily get them to engage? Like, it's not a new
let's
product.
Let's pin that and come back to it. Okay.
Fair enough. Okay. So the other thing we have to remember with all of this is that each of the platforms, the way that they grow is through VC funding. So the model is launch, be a free app, and get as much market share as you can as fast as possible. Because if you can become the only player or one of the five biggest players, then there's an opportunity to either go public, which is where the VCs make their money, or to sell, which is also where the VCs make their money. So the goal for those VCs is get someone else to buy it from them, either the public or additional VCs. If you are reaching, and you know, we have to sort of make this contention, if you're reaching close to the potential cap of growth available, then there's less and less reason for more people to come in and buy stock or buy shares, which means the VCs that are currently in it don't have as much of an exit opportunity as the people who started at the beginning. Now, all of that is what I define as sort of like the problem that they're facing. And we've heard Zuckerberg talk about this. We, for a while, heard the head of TikTok talk about, you know, just how challenging it is to monetize short form. And there's other reasons for that. But a big part of it is just like user base is it's where it's at. Now, there's two ways, in my opinion, to solve this problem. Not really my opinion. There's two ways to grow revenue. Let's say it that way. The first is find new customers. The second is increase the amount that customers spend with you.
Right.
Who is the customer for a platform?
The user.
The brand. The user is the product.
Right, okay.
So
why are you asking me trick questions? Lord Jesus.
So the brand's job is to purchase advertising. The user is what they're trying to advertise to. So they can either bring new brands in to advertise, but if you're as big as an Instagram or a Facebook, you already know that that's an option. So why are you necessarily going to start now if you haven't already? Or they can increase the amount that brands spend with them. That's the other option. What I'm sort of starting to notice is that one path for them to increase the amount brands spend with them is to broaden the amount of advertising options available and capture more of the total ad spend. Because right now a brand might spend money on paid media, which is direct to the platforms largely, maybe some TV, maybe some, I don't know, print media. I don't know who's still doing that, but in certain markets, maybe it makes sense. But a pretty huge chunk of that's already going to a Facebook or a TikTok or whomever. Then they have a separate category that I will call creator marketing. So that's where they're paying influencers or UGC creators to make organic like content that they then, you know, promote to their audience. That part of the equation, the creator marketing component, brands don't get any value from right now. Even though it happens through their platform, even though the audiences that those creators are reaching exist on their platform, brands get 0% of that spend, but they get almost all of the spend from paid media at the moment. Logically speaking, it would make sense to me that, okay, if we need to find ways to get brands to spend more of their money with us, it would be expanding into the creator marketing side. And we're already starting to see some of this. So one thing that we noticed was that they started to launch the like internal marketplaces, so like the creator marketplaces within TikTok and Instagram, where brands can technically go in, post a gig, creators can accept it, so on and so forth. I don't think that model's really worked. I don't know a single creator outside of like very, very small ones that are getting any type of real deals through that. And for the most part, at least the ones I get, maybe your experience is different, are kind of like scammy products. It's not like actual brands really putting things inside this marketplace. There's a number of reasons why, you know, we can speculate on why it didn't work, but from my perspective, it doesn't seem like it's working. The second thing that they can do, or that they have done, is launch shopping directly in the app. So you've seen this with TikTok Shop, and Instagram is supposedly piloting something similar. Now it is working. Shopping directly in the app is working really well on TikTok, and that does give them a percentage of that creator marketing spend, because the conversion now happens within the app, so they can take a percentage. So that's one solution that has worked for TikTok, but thus far Meta, Google, they haven't been able to successfully roll that out. So the core question is, what if we just let brands do influencer deals straight into the platform in the same way that they run ads right now? Like as efficient, as targeted, as cheap as they're able to run a regular ad. And that's where I think the AI influencer Meta, quote unquote, is going. I think brands are, or not brands, I think platforms are attempting to normalize the idea of AI creators and AI influencers so that eventually brands will feel comfortable going into a backend platform like the Meta Business Suite or the TikTok business account, and creating a new campaign, being able to select things like demographic that they want to target, as well as demographic of the influencer, being able to select what percentage of reach they want that influencer to have to their audience, and go through that process and test it just as quickly and just as smoothly as they can with current paid media. Now, I do have a few examples of not so much this in happening, but consumers already sort of accepting something like this, sort of like a precursor to this. But I want to pause there and give you a chance to share your response.
I always love reverting back to our own natural human behavior. Mm-hmm. And this is just coming from my experience. So please tell me if your experience is different. What I've seen and what I've experienced is that any time any kind of influencer marketing has worked on me and I've taken it seriously and actually bought a product, it is the result of me trusting that individual. And that trust comes from a light and a dark side. So it comes from the light of like, hey, I'm into what they're into. They're cool. They're funny, whatever, whatever. But it also comes from the dark side of understanding their struggles and, you know, their journey, the hero's journey and all of that stuff, because I can see myself in that too. When they mess up, when, you know, the dirt on them, essentially. What I don't understand about these AI influencers is they may be able to, you know, mimic the light side of humanity of like, hey, I'm, you know, love camping and so forth. But where's the story there where they were the Southern homeschool kid who had no education, who worked herself from the ground up and so forth? They can build that story into the character, but there's not going to be a real connection there where I actually trust them. And then think about this too. So we'll put that to the side. If I know homeboy over here is like, has his ice cream brand and just going over to Meta and selecting the influencer, that influencer that AI influencer has no choice, tell me if I'm wrong, to accept that ice cream gig because they've been programmed to do it. So why would I trust that influencer's thing when it doesn't have a choice? It's not like, oh, I've been eating this ice cream for years and I can't, I'm so excited when they approach me.
Come on. Here's my question for you.
I'm getting upset.
Here's my question for you. How would you know? Like, let's fast forward. Let's pretend that all the things the tech bros say is true and that AI video is going to eventually become imperceptible.
Yeah.
You already consume all of your influencer-based content through a screen. You've, for the most part, you've never met these people in person. You've just seen the video of them in this location versus that location. But how would you know if they're actually real or not?
You wouldn't. But then when you learned it, would that not cause a problem between you and that influencer and brand? I know this sounds ridiculous.
No, I get you.
You've known me for 6-7 years or whatever. If you found out that I'm really just an AI bot or whatever, you'd be pissed. Maybe you'd be happy.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Good, I could just zoom out of this girl. But like our relationship was nothing. Our friendship was nothing. Me, you know, us going whatever, whatever. There's actually going to put a bad taste in people's mouths with that. It's cool, I guess, that I can't tell this is an AI bot, but it's actually, I just finished Simon Sinek's book about Start With Why. Mm-hmm. The whole premise of that is building trust with your community. And I think tricking people into, is this a human, is it not, may work short term, but long term, it's going to hurt a relationship.
Agreed. Based on current standards. So let's walk through a few of these examples of why I think it's possible to change what consumers are okay with. So do you remember Lonely Girl 15?
No.
So Lonely Girl 15 was a YouTuber back in like 2006 who popped up out of nowhere. It was this girl in her bedroom doing the YouTuber thing, like literally just talking to the camera, talking about what boys she liked or you know who said what about whom or whatever, right? And everyone bought into it for a few months. Eventually it came out that she was an actor and that it was entirely staged. The entire story was fake. The bedroom was a set. Like it was fully, fully fake. Up until that point, you had people building the same relationship with her as they did with any quote unquote real influencer. Now, you know, you can say, okay, well, there was still a real person, yada, yada, yada. Very true. Let's move on to example two. There's an influencer right now who is AI, 2.5 million followers on Instagram, named Little Michaela. Have you ever heard of her?
No, I'm looking her up.
So she gets an average 300,000 views on her reels across the board. And when you go through the comments, there is very little, oh my God, she's AI. Part of that, I will contend, is because they were upfront that this is an AI influencer, right? That it completely stated up at the beginning, it was meant to be an experiment almost to see, like, can you actually do this? And in many ways, she was made with significantly worse technology than we have even today compared to 5 years from now. So that already exists and is happening, and people have I can't say whether or not they have the same depth of relationship, but they do have a relationship with this AI influencer.
Can we stop real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So first about the lonely girl, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what happened to her career after that. B, this Michaela Wild, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm following now. But I'm just my own example here. Mm-hmm. I'm hitting follow because I'm interested to see what an AI influencer
sure.
does. It's less about, oh, I'm connected to her because 100%. She's wearing a Levi's hoodie.
100%.
So how many of those 2 million?
I'm guessing, honestly, all of it, because there was a ton of press around her. Like, it was presented as an AI influencer. So there's a sense of curiosity there. Okay. Third, there's this woman.
She's cute, though. I do like her outfits. I'm not going to lie.
I mean,
she's
here's
cute.
The thing, though, right? You can layer any attire on there that you want. So if you see it enough, maybe it just gets in the back of your head like, oh, I want to go to the Gap or whatever it is, right? So there's a third influencer called, I don't know if you pronounce her name, Aitana or Aitana. It's A-I-T-A-N-A. So she has 347,000 followers. She doesn't really post reels. She has a couple, but not much. She looks pretty close to real in her static photos. She gets an average of like 4,000 plus likes on those photos. And I have an article here. I'm going to link it in the description of the episode of the team who made her. They can make up to 10,000 euros a month on brand deals with her. Not to mention, she also posts, I say she like she's a person, they post photos in like bikinis and stuff on FanView, which is an alternative to OnlyFans, and people subscribe to it. So like, there is already that engagement with this. And this one, you can very quickly find that she's AI, but there was no like press tour leading up to the launch saying, oh, we're going to launch an AI influencer. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that one.
I just feel like this is all novelty, though, and that's what they're leveraging. Because when you think about the scalability of this, of course, like, I haven't heard of these people. I scroll constantly. Mm-hmm. It's new. It's interesting. It's novel. But again, back to the trust element, I might subconsciously, to your point, buy Gap because I'm bombarded with mm-hmm. cartoon AI people who are wearing Gap. But when it comes to real conversion, I don't see where the trust element can be taken out of it, especially when there is increased volume.
Yeah.
Because our buying decisions are getting a lot more particular. We're a lot more conscious of it. And for me to spend money, you really have to convince me now.
Yeah, fair.
So can AI convince me the way a human could?
So here's the two more examples, and then we'll sort of wrap up my case for it. So the first is the video I sent you right before this on Reddit, Google VO.
Yep.
So it's their new video platform, similar to Sora from ChatGPT or OpenAI, I guess. And they specifically have a demo of creating quote unquote influencer style videos. Now, when you watch them, you know, it's literally silent. In theory, you can add an AI voice and saying whatever you want. You can do a dub, so on and so forth. And the voice, I think, is a lot of where the giveaway might end up being. Because if you look at the video, it's actually kind of hard to tell at points. Like there are moments where I know it is because the article told me, but it takes a second. So we know they can replicate style. Now, what you're arguing is the trust point. Like, okay, let's pretend we can manufacture an influencer from scratch. They do everything an influencer does from day one, so on and so forth. The other part of this, and actually, no, I'll give you a point to your case. Meta, if you remember, they tested on Instagram buying the rights to certain celebrities and influencers, like face, basically, and putting it on a chatbot. Now, they recently shut that down because people saw it as creepy. So, super fair. Like, that is absolutely how people are reacting. However, and this is the big part of my argument before I get to the conspiracy.
You haven't started.
I haven't started the conspiracy. This whole thing sounds like a freaking conspiracy. I know, right? So the big part is Gen Alpha. They're already getting AI in their content. The vast majority of AI voiceovers and the vast quantity, I should say, of AI voiceovers, of AI generated work that is in their stuff, and they are consuming it perfectly fine. They are, in my opinion, being slowly trained, whether purposely or not, to have less of a problem with that uncanny valley issue that people our generation and even Gen Z would have, because they're being made use to AI from, you know, age 8 or whatever the youngest Gen Alpha is right now. So my argument is less that this is going to be targeted at us. I think it's largely going to be targeted at every generation after us who will already be made used to AI in their content. And when you then layer in the ability to create an account from scratch with just influencer style videos in the same way that Lonely Girl 15 did, all of it generated, but using the same cadence that an influencer would, using the same topics, showcasing their life, creating and ending relationships, bringing people through the entire emotional journey that somebody might go through with a real creator. I'm struggling to see how future generations don't build up the same degree of emotional trust that we do with real people that we've never met. Like, that's my argument.
This is where the conversation is going to get good. You ready?
Do you want me to jump into the conspiracy first, or do you want to go?
Before you get into your conspiracy theory, I want to comment on this, and maybe it'll lead into it. I don't know.
Okay.
My youngest is 7, about to turn 8, and I can say from our experience, everything you're saying is right on. Like, she is tougher than I am. Nothing bothers her. Like, she can see things on the screen, and she's like, you know, just like blank, and I'm like having emotional reactions. Like, it's just wild. This sounds harsh, but the callousness a little bit of, you know, the human stuff that I get weird about. So I can see that, and I can see humanity shifting that way. This is my question. The question mark is how much longer, or it's going to be a while before they have money. You know what I mean? So what we're talking about, I'm still paying for things. Lucy, I don't know what gen she is. She's 12. She doesn't have the money. So there's going to be a little gap there where they do still need to target people like you and I.
Yeah.
Now, when we're phased out and these kids have the money and they've been conditioned for AI the whole time, this is where I'm wondering about just the evolution of humanity in general, where we're going to enter into a new stage of what it means to be a human and maybe phase out. And I just said earlier we shouldn't get dark and be scared of AI, but that's where my dark scared comes in, because if this progresses the way people are saying it's going to, I don't see another choice but for humanity to not be the superior being on this earth and maybe eventually die.
Yeah, I mean, fair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's horrifying. I'll say that. It is horrifying to think about. I interestingly think, and this is going to lead into my conspiracy, I think it's going to happen slightly sooner than we think.
Oh,
not so much the phase out.
You just got to ruin my Taco Tuesday, don't you? God,
yeah, it is Tuesday. No, okay. So here's my theory. I think the TikTok ban is part of the process.
Oh boy, go.
So here's why. TikTok, as you know, rose to prominence in 2020, largely based on it was the only one at the time doing short form vertical video. It sort of rode the missing gap from Vine in a lot of ways. But unlike Instagram, it is significantly less polished.
Yes.
The content that works there tends to be as raw as possible, or as close to it as possible. And that completely what you said earlier, we fall in love with influencers and creators because of the dark and the light.
Right.
I should have done that backwards. But the rawness on TikTok is a big part of why we connected to influencers there as quickly as we did. Now, if you get rid of TikTok, at least in the US, that leaves us with Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts. YouTube Shorts is slightly raw, but the algorithm there is honestly just not that good. You are going to see, and we've already seen this, more creators, more people going to Instagram. And the algorithm there prioritizes polished.
Mm-hmm.
It's polished and it's manicured. If you get people's expectations wanting that more because that's their choice, then you open the door for less of the dark required to produce an influencer.
That's deep.
Which creates an opportunity for an AI influencer who is going to be pretty polished because it's really hard for them to actually have right. like a raw messiness in the same way that humans do. It opens the door for them to have an opportunity to be more believable, I guess is my point. And prediction-wise, if I were to wrap up my case here, this is where I'm going to put myself.
I'm glad because this is dark and I'm depressed and I don't know if I can handle anymore.
Don't worry, we're going to end with, we're not ending with anything good. But the prediction, I think there's a potential that by the end of 2025, we'll start to see some inklings of this. I think we're going to see brands start to utilize AI for user-generated content specifically, like UGC.
Yeah.
Because it comes cheap and because you aren't aiming for a relationship with the influencer to drive a conversion. You're just aiming for a seemingly real person to showcase your product. So I think we're going to see it replace smaller UGC creators significantly sooner than influencers. When you get to the influencer scale, a part of what brands are paying for is the association with that person in the mm-hmm. same way that you do with the celebrity. So that's going to be much harder to go for. And that's going to be a much longer term play where they have to try and create an influencer from scratch instead of just being able to replicate what a UGC creator does. I think that could happen by the end of 2025 where they start to replace UGC creators because there's already platforms and agencies, I say agency very loosely here, that specialize in AI UGC already exists. I think brands will catch on to some degree that it is cheap. I think video models will increase, which will allow us to produce things that are more believable. And I think we're going to see at least smaller to medium-sized brands with smaller budgets experimenting there. Once that happens, I think we're going to see Instagram start to test it in platform, like in their app, their ad platform, where brands can go in and the same way they customize a Facebook ad right now, they can go in and customize a UGC campaign and they can choose their reach and the number of influence or the number of creators and yada, yada, yada. And I think if that shift happens and consumers don't revolt, it's game over long term. So that's my argument. That's my conspiracy theory. Before I get into the potential positive note, thoughts.
If this is true, and if this is the way it's going to go, I don't see another option than for content to drastically shift from kind of the more personal day-to-day type content to story-based series show type material. Because for me to want retention-wise to watch AI influencers long-term, there's going to have to be really strong story there where I'm going into it like a show versus the content that we're consuming right now on IG, which means another essentially seeing this as another streaming platform.
Yeah. That's a really good connection, actually. I didn't even think of that.
Which is exciting for storytellers because that's what we do. That's
yeah, I mean, opportunity. If you are really good at crafting and writing stories, huge opportunity for you to scale that and yeah. have a real place in what has been dominated as a video first format for a very long time, where written has been sort of buried.
What's the positive? I'm ready.
So here's what I think brands and content creators should be thinking about with this.
Okay.
I think to your point, people are going to want something deeper, at least immediately. Like, AI will be able to replicate the look and feel, but they won't necessarily be able to replicate the experience. Like you said, no AI is going to be able to talk about how they grew up in a trailer park and finally made it out and so on and so forth. Now, they can say that, but you're not going to be able to feel it as much. And there is something to that. So I think brands and content creators really need to be leaning into personal stories, leaning into narratives that only they can share, perspectives only they can share. Like, those things that honestly you should be doing right now anyway to stand out as a content creator and as a brand, you heavily need to do going forward. The second thing is, as I said, the influencers, people who are already known for their thing, they're going to be safe to an extent for now. I think that's going to drive...
Such an optimist, Greg.
I think it's going to drive their costs up. I think agencies that represent them are going to recognize their value. And so what I'd love to see brands do is start entering longer term relationships with those influencers. And this is something we're starting to test out at Kojo, where when we bring on an influencer, we're paying them the equivalent of a salary. Mm-hmm. Like, they are with us. They are a part of Kojo. It's not just this like one-off relationship that maybe we go back to in the future if you do a good job. It's, we trust you. We want to support your career. And so we're going to invest in you. And I think if brands do that, they're going to be able to lock in influencers that are going to be higher value in the future at rates that make sense today, instead of having to spend an arm and a leg. And that's a move that you need to make immediately, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then the third big thing, when it comes to creating content as a whole, whether it's for your own brand, whether you're a creator, I think we're also going to see the opposite. So we're going to want real narratives, deeper storytelling. I think we're also going to want messier. Because as I said, that's the part that's really hard for AI to replicate. And we're already seeing some movement with this, where if a video, this is part of my framework around how to produce a viral video, but the perceived sense of authenticity, meaning the viewer sees it and thinks this just randomly happened out in the world, that is a key distinguisher between a video that goes mega viral and a video that doesn't.
Yeah.
The more you can create that, whether it's manufactured or not, in the viewer's mind, the better your content is going to do in this world where content is going to be super polished, super clean. It's going to feel robotic, for lack of a better word.
Right.
The way you zag in that situation is to go messy and be okay with your brand feeling messy on social, because that's what your audience is going to want. So that's what I think we should do in response to this.
I don't like agreeing with you, but I will. I think that's on point and hopeful. The only thing I wanted to add, and I just thought of this, let's say it just steered like doomsday, like you said, everything's AI, there's no more creators, it's all whatever. I'm curious to see if there's going to be another influencer emerge, which is the production team behind the AI. Because if you think about our own human behavior, when I watch a movie or a show, I don't know if you're like me, I am geeky, dude. If I love it, I'm Googling who the director was. I'm diving into their past story. I want to know all the behind the scenes content. We love that. So there could be like a BTS influencer behind these AI influencers. Sure. So it's still not weeding out humanity. You know what I mean?
No. I don't think it's getting rid of humanity. It's shifting roles and focus.
Maybe. Or we all die.
I do think there is a future where we're all in the Matrix, but I won't get into that this episode. But I do agree, and we're already seeing some of that on social. A category of content that works is behind the scenes or how to like do this specific thing. Yeah. So yeah. We see this video a lot, and I'll put up an example on screen here where it's literally on screen, like shot one, and then the next shot, shot two, mm-hmm. and the next shot three. And it's like somebody with their camera doing the movements, and then you see the final product. That works. Like that is a format yeah. that works. People are interested in how things were made, which is yeah. going back to my framework on how you go viral. It's what I call meta story. So if you can layer that into your content as well, or if you're going to utilize AI influencers, which I hope you don't, but if you do, okay, I get it. Starting to layer in some of the, like, again, messy, here's what went into this campaign, can help create the connection to the final creative that comes from the AI, because they are actually connected with the people who made that AI.
Yep.
So yeah, 100% agree with your take there.
Overall, I feel better than when we started this conversation.
Well, that's good.
I know. Job. I'm surprised because I didn't think it was going well.
Fair enough. Well, that's our show. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to click subscribe. Or is it follow now? I don't remember. Anyway, wherever you are consuming this, click the associated button with the thing that gets you to come back next time. Thank you so much for your time, Heather.
Bye, y'all.
Later.